What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, your daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Listen, it's Friday, and we're going to need it. I'm watching this Thursday slate take place, and I just got the push notification that Mario Hezonja is starting over Aaron Gordon in the second half. Like, oh God. Celtics can't find the rim. They cannot score points. Apparently, that's really become a challenge for that team. It's a hell of a slate, gang. It's a hell of a slate. Let's go ahead and give the old dust the fingers off, dust the hands off there, and move on to something that should be a little bit less ugly. There is a 7-game slate on Friday. Of course, I'm going to have my man Josh Fernandez on to help me talk through our player selections as we go into this Friday. So you guys, put Thursday behind you. Put the ugly basketball behind you. The blowout in Orlando, the Celtics looking absolutely terrible without Kyrie. Put it all in your rearview mirror, and let's just take a look at what we have coming up on Friday. I'm going to take a look at Vegas here, and we'll talk through some of the injuries and rotation information that you need to be aware of as we go into Friday night. All right, first game of the night, that is in Brooklyn. Miami, Brooklyn, 206 total here. Miami favored by 3 on the road. Listen, a 206 total for a game with Brooklyn tells you a whole lot about Miami's defense and Brooklyn's offense. Considering that Brooklyn has been running a pretty serious pace on a regular basis and has been relatively competent. I mean, they're top 5 in pace here. We're talking about 102 possessions per game. It's pretty unbelievable that they right now that we are looking at such a low total for this game. And listen, Miami is a good defensive team. They've been very good lately. They're on a run. They're top 10 in defensive efficiency. And they only run 96 possessions per game. So what Vegas really sees here is that Miami has and is going to control this game from start to finish. Now, as far as injuries go and information for this one, apparently we're going to see the return of D'Angelo. My guess would be that he's probably going to play the two. I don't think you're going to stop Spencer Dinwiddie, who, by the way, 2-for-14, 3-for-13, 4-for-16 in his last couple games. If you wonder why it is that they don't necessarily always let him play the point guard, that is why, because the man just can't really shoot. That game in San Antonio really came down to the wire. And if you were looking at, who they gave the minutes to try and see who they trust, because it was competitive all the way through. Damari Carroll, Joe Harris, Alan Crabb, Dinwiddie, all with over 30 minutes. And then at the 5, you saw Quincy Acey get some run. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got 19 minutes as well, trying to deal with LaMarcus Aldridge down there, which did not work, as well as Jared Allen. and even Jahlil Okafor made an appearance. He seems to be getting into the rotation a little bit more. He'll be interesting if we get some injuries. But the Nets in this one should be at the disposal of Miami, and Miami has been playing phenomenally well. They got that win over Milwaukee. Tyler Johnson continues to be out for them, and we've seen Hassan Whiteside kind of get his job back. He's back up to close to 30 minutes. He played exactly 31 minutes in that Milwaukee game. Now, he is always liable to lose that job, just to be very clear about this. And he had a great matchup with Milwaukee. That's part of the reason why he kept it that night. But always liable to lose that job. At the 2, we've seen Derrick Jones Jr. pick up some extra minutes. He got 20 minutes in that Milwaukee game, probably because of the absence of Tyler Johnson. And of course, you saw, you saw Justice Winslow get back into the lineup. He played 26 minutes, and that pushed Okara White. Well, we knew Okara White wasn't playing, but that pushed, Kelly Olynyk's minutes down there. Wayne Ellington also saw only 27 minutes and put up only 7 shots. So the guys that you really want to pay attention to on this team, Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, they're the guys getting over 30 minutes. Everybody else in kind of a more minor 28-minute role. James Johnson, though, also 29 minutes in that. So that's where we're at with the Miami rotation, just so you guys are aware of that. San Antonio at Toronto. This one should be good, although Kawhi still with that quad injury. What is going on with the quad injury? He's out. He's going to be out indefinitely. They're not going to say anything about it. What happens in Brooklyn? Well, you get a ton of minutes from the point guard because apparently they're going small. They feel comfortable going guard on guard here. You get Deontay Murray, Patty Mills, Tony Parker, all with over 25 minutes. Brent Forbes got 22 minutes. Danny Green got 27 minutes. And that kind of came in at the expense of Kyle Anderson's minutes and usage, frankly. He only went for 22 minutes, only put up 2 shots, which, you know, the 90% of us who rostered him expecting to get that 20-point floor did not get it. Of course, the most reliable source of offense on this team continues to be LaMarcus, who is just a beast and worth it every night out. I have no issue with him against Toronto. Yes, they're a decent front-court defense, but he has proven to almost be matchup-proof in this situation. On the Toronto side of things, continuing to play well. They had a nice game against Detroit, got that win pretty easily. Kyle Lowry put in 32 minutes. DeRozan put in 37 minutes. 37 relatively inefficient minutes from DeRozan, not contributing in the other categories, which is a little bit of a concern. Jonas Valanciunas continues to be kind of boom or bust. He got 28 minutes the other night against Detroit and absolutely put it on. Andre Drummond really, really looked good. Serge Ibaka's role seems to be declining a little bit as they go in a favor of, it looks like a little bit of more of a small ball lineup. He only had 17 and 23 minutes. So something to keep an eye on there, as well. Without Fred VanVleet, DeLon Wright took over most of the backup point guard minutes. And at the two, he played 23 total minutes. So something to keep an eye on. This should be an interesting game. It's got it's actually in favor of Toronto. They are favored by 5 at home, which makes good sense. This team has been absolutely excellent. And on both sides of the ball, both ends of the floor. Fourth best offense overall. So they have a top 5 offense and a top 5 defense, 5th in overall defensive efficiency. Dwayne Casey's using the bench. He hasn't really found any holes in his lineup. They're healthy. So knock on wood, they continue to play well. Moving on to Detroit, Washington at Detroit, 208 total here. Washington favored only by 1 after that drubbing that they got from Cleveland. Now, to be fair to them, MKG shot 100% for the field. What the hell? When is that going to be consistent? Michael Kidd-Gilchrist can barely stay on the floor these days, and all of a sudden, he's shooting 100% from the field. I don't buy it. So definitely tilting, but not something that I'm necessarily concerning myself with. So not too worried about it. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a trend that's going to continue, that Washington is going to struggle here. On the Detroit side of things, continue to see no Reggie Jackson, which means that we're going to see Ish Smith at 30 minutes. He's hit or miss. He's hit or miss because he just can't really score that often. If he can get to the rim, he can score. So Washington, not a bad matchup for him. Pace up situation, I don't mind it. Tobias Harris is going to get 30 minutes. Reggie Bullock, Anthony Tolliver, they're going to play the 3, the 4 together. Limited use there. Avery Bradley looked fine from a health perspective, took up 35 minutes, even though he was questionable with that groin and was relatively effective, didn't affect his shooting at all. Don't know how it affected his defense necessarily, but didn't affect his shooting at all. Drummond continues to be really dominant. 3 of the last 5, he's had over 58 fantasy points. So definitely an interesting spot here to go with him in Washington. On the Washington side of things, you know, it's hard to read that last game that they had against the Hornets. They played really poorly and then kind of sat everybody in the fourth quarter. You didn't see any of the starters come back after they took them out in the third. But Scott Brooks just said, we're done here. And so, you know, you saw 24 minutes from John Wall, only 27 minutes from Bradley Beal, who Bradley Beal was just absolutely scorching hot in the first half. He had 20 points and ultimately on the night shot almost over 50%, 10 of 19 from the field. So, you know, not a great matchup with Avery Bradley, but he is liable to do damage every single night he is out on the floor. You know, it's just hard to read what the rotation looks like. I think you know who's going to get 30 minutes on this team. It's Otto Porter. It's Bradley Beal. It's John Wall. And then you're probably going to see 28 minutes-ish for Markieff and Kelly Oubre with a few random minutes here for, you know, Jan Mahimi and Jody Meeks and all those kinds of clowns. So, you know, Detroit – Washington is an interesting game for the starters. I think it probably goes overlooked, but yeah, relatively low total. And a lot of these games are low total. So you're going to have to kind of be, you're going to be thinking about that. All right. Sacramento at Memphis. This is interesting on the Sacramento side because we continue to see, you know, the veterans sit. Now, did we know who's going to sit? No. No, but, you know, we know that we know who's on the list for the veterans list, right? It's Garrett Temple. It's George Hill. It is Zach Randolph and Vince Carter and Kostas Koufos. Those are your guys who you can expect to start to get DNPs for rest. Now, Scalabissé was out with his shoulder, so Zach played in that last game. But Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to get as many minutes as he can handle. He has been excellent, absolutely excellent. Put up 33 against Utah in 39 minutes, shot 9 from 11 from the field, was 6 for 6 from the arc. Unbelievable performance from the young fella. He is part of their future, and they're going to give him a ton of run. De'Aaron Fox, 36 minutes. He's going to get a ton of run. You know, George Hill got a lot of run in that Utah game and played very well. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the names that we see sit tomorrow. He's 36 minutes. He got 36 minutes, which is the most he's seen in a long time. It would make a lot of good sense to me for them to sit him in this Memphis game. But who knows? Justin Jackson's minutes are increasing. That's something to keep an eye on. But he's not really doing much with them. So in the Sacramento thing, you know, the Sacramento thing is really Willie Cauley-Stein. And Bogdan really creating a good amount of fantasy value here for you, especially with Scalabissé out of the lineup. The front court is completely dominated by Willie Cauley-Stein, who is getting over 30 minutes a night and playing really well from a fantasy perspective. On the Memphis side of things, lots of injuries to be worried about, lots of news to be worried about. Marc Gasol questionable. Brandon Wright is likely going to be out. And then you have a couple questionable tags on some of the other Grizzlies in the front court. I believe Dylan Brooks and James Ennis are the other two guys who are carrying tags right now. And forgive me if I got that wrong. This Memphis team is not great. And we saw Porzingis absolutely dice them up without Gasol in the front court. Now he may not be my favorite player in the world, but he certainly holds that defense together. Porzingis went for 56 against them. Obviously that was, you know, became a really good play once you saw Gasol out. I would be happy to attack them in the front court once again. If we have no Gasol, no Brandon Wright, I don't know how much Deontay Davis I would be interested in. A half a fantasy point per minute for that guy who really clearly could not keep up with Porzingis. So, you know, we're looking towards the backcourt, which continues to be a source of good fantasy production. You know, namely Tyreek. Tyreek is it, man. Tyreek is all they got. So you can certainly continue to look at Tyreek. Dylan Brooks took an increased workload in that New York game, as did Jarrell Martin. So two names to keep in mind if guys get ruled out in this one. Jamichael Green actually put up 15 shots, which is the most he's done in a while. So those would be the guys that you would look to for offense if you get some guys ruled out. So Phoenix at Denver. Of course, we saw Will Barton run the point guard. He's a beast. He's an animal. Put up 40, dropping dimes on him. Gary had a phenomenal first half, and then they just changed the strategy and they tried to take him out of the game. Smart by the Clippers. We're not going to see Jamal Murray for a while. This concussion thing is going to keep him out for a couple more games. I think it seems like they kind of don't really have a timetable on it. They're taking it a little bit more seriously. 15 minutes from Emmanuel Mudiay, not enough to be interested in him necessarily, although he did make the best of those minutes by putting up 11 shots, which I'm sure it just affirmed exactly what Mike Malone already knew, which is, what the fuck are you doing? Mason Plumlee was the story here. Double-double with 16 and 14 points, or excuse me, 14 rebounds. He was an animal. And listen, it cut into the minutes for Trey Lyles. But we know Malone will go with a hot hand, and Plumlee was dominating down there, and primarily because Blake was working against Jokic, and so you had Plumlee in a mismatch against Montrezl Harrell, and you know, Plumlee is a scorer, he's a veteran, he's going to be able to get that kind of, he's going to be able to take care of that kind of massive matchup. Wilson Chandler came in with a couple good performances of late, with no Jamal Murray action out there. So someone to keep your eye on as well in the Denver rotation. Of course, against Phoenix, we're going to love all of them. Give me as many nuggets as I can handle in this game. No doubt. All right, going on to the Suns side of things, TJ Warren is going to be back, which means that we don't have to worry about Josh Jackson being not good. Dragan Bender is going to continue to start for Marquese Chris, which means he will play 32 minutes, but he will only shoot the ball five times. It's exactly where he has been lately. It's kind of been rough with Bender of late. I'm not going to lie. He had a couple good games and then he just stopped scoring, which I can't tell if that's the first unit situation or what the case may be. Of course, Devin Booker continues to be the one guy you really want to continue to get into your lineup. Very interesting that he just took all of TJ Warren's shots and put them up himself. So he's interesting to me on any given night, and he's definitely going to be interesting in Denver, which they're going to need where they're going to need his scoring. This game is a 218 total, but Denver, of course, favored by 9. They're the much better team right now, no doubt about it. New York at Utah. This one should be interesting only because we're going to see Rudy Gobert return for the Jazz. He's probable. Now, we haven't heard anything about minutes. We haven't anything, you know, minutes limits or anything like that, but he is probable. My guess is that he's probably going to play 24. That would be the number that I would peg him at. 24 minutes, which means that him and Favors will just go 24 and 24, you know, which is fine. And you'll see, you might see some Ekpe Udo somewhere in there, but, probably not. But you're going to see, Rudy and Derek split this front court for the most part. You know, it's not very often that Derek and Rudy play together on the court of the four and the five. So just something to be aware of. In the backcourt, you know, we continue to look at the backcourt for Utah for value here. Donovan Mitchell, Ricky Rubio, Rodney Hood all played over nearly 30 minutes or more, which was interesting. Made possible by the fact that Jonas Jerebko was down, not playing any minutes. I just can't quite understand where all those minutes are coming from for those guys. You know, who it is that's going to the bench, but it's happening. And you know, we're seeing Joe Ingles get 30 as well. So the Jazz continue to be interesting against New York. Not really worried about them right now. They're not playing very good defense, especially they're trending in the wrong direction. defensively. So you could definitely go back to some Jazz players here in this situation. On the Knicks side of things, you know, it continues to be the Kristaps show. He's going to take close to 20 shots a game. He scored over 40 in each of his last four games, twice over 50. Michael Beasley played 24 minutes and made the most of them, 33 fantasy points in that span. He's a scorer, and they can't afford not to have him on the floor. So he is going to continue to get 25 minutes. He's proven that he can contribute in that time span and be a good scorer for them down the stretch. And his Kanter is back up to 28 minutes, so that's a good sign for knowing that he's going to have a secure role. And I don't know that I would play him against Utah's front court, but it's something to be aware of. 204 total. Sorry, that was a 204 total with Utah favored by four. Indiana at the Lakers. This one should be fun for the Pacers. On the Pacers side of things, we're going to continue to see Miles Turner sit. So Domantas Sabonis against his front court, very, very interesting to me, no doubt about it. 30 straight up minutes. He's had a nice floor. His price is very reasonable. Thad Young, similarly. Thad Young actually is getting about 35 minutes and had a very clear floor as well. And he's actually a little bit cheaper than Domantas. At least he was tonight. All this is to say that we're definitely going to have to consider plenty of Indiana players going into LA. We'll keep an eye out on Lance Stephenson. He was questionable tonight, so who knows if he's going to play tomorrow night. But he would be interesting if he sits. I think he would probably see some more minutes. Maybe for like a guy like TJ Leaf, maybe a guy like Corey Joseph, maybe. There's a lot of possibilities for what they would do with the three there. And kind of shifting guys around. On the Lakers side of things, we do have some injuries to be worried about. Lonzo is out. Brandon Ingram, probable. He twisted his ankle in that OKC game, only played 25 minutes. And KCP, questionable with an Achilles, so probably going to be out, considering he left that game on Monday night, or Wednesday night, excuse me, 15 minutes in, and was playing well, but left the game with an injury. So you're going to see probably some Josh Hart. You're probably going to see a lot of the guys from the front court. Kyle Kuzma is questionable as well with a finger injury. We'll see if he plays. If he doesn't play, then you're going to get a whole lot of Larry Nance and a whole lot of Julius Randle, and maybe some extra Brooke Lopez, which I'm interested in those guys because they're paint scorers, and you want paint scorers against the Pacers. So that is it. That's where we're at for Friday's slate is injuries in Vegas. So let's go ahead and we're going to jump into the player breakdown and give you guys a player pool to work with coming into Friday night. Who do you love? All right, going to jump into the player breakdown here with my man Josh Fernandez. Josh, how are you, my friend?
Good, Sean. Just glad to be back on the pod with you, man. It's been a couple weeks, but it was a little under the weather last week and sat it out. But back in action, buddy.
Back in action, man. And what a good time. You know, we were just talking about it. You just got yourself squared away, looking up at Fantasy 5x5, looking at all the cool tools that they have to offer. It's a great time for NBA DFS, you know? It's just that grind, yeah. Back and forth and back and forth, constantly thinking about
it. Yeah, man. Yeah, Fantasy 5x5 is crazy. It's like, I mean, there's so many fantasy sports websites out there, but this site is just so geared. I mean, well, it's obviously just geared towards basketball, but it's just so geared towards the game because it just, you know, Chris, the creator of Fantasy 5x5, like clearly knows what we're looking for as users. And right. I highly recommend all Lineup Logic patrons who are at that tier to check it out. If you haven't yet, all you got to do is enter your email address and it'll unlock it for you. And for those of you out there,
well, yeah, well, if you get the email from Chris, right? But if, well, the one thing I would say, if you're at the $10 tier, get up to the $15.
Yeah, because you're getting our content, you're helping us out, you know, for 10 bucks and for $5 extra a month, I mean, you're getting a 50% discount on Fantasy 5x5. And no offense to any other websites out there, they have some awesome stuff, Roto Grinders, you know, Fantasy Labs, etc. But I mean, this is made for fantasy basketball.
Yep, it is. It absolutely is. It is made for fantasy basketball and fantasy basketball players. So we're gonna get into this Friday breakdown, which there's a lot of DFS action to be worried about, you know, in general. We got Friday night slate. There's some nice slates on Saturday. And our friend Mike Alexander Roto won. Josh, I don't know if you noticed this. He did a UFC breakdown. So you guys, free UFC content. Really big card this weekend. A lot of fun. Mike is working on worked on a free UFC breakdown. Here's a fun fact, Josh. Did you know this about Mike? He's a wrestler in judo guy.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily that I would be interested in.
No, I mean, Mike. You know, just from the live streams, I mean, he looks like he has a pretty beefy neck. So
he's got a lot.
You can tell a lot about a guy by like the thickness of his neck. His neck is probably bigger than my head, just from what I saw on the live stream. So, Mike, don't hurt me.
Right. Exactly. So that's amazing. So Mike's got some free content over there on the website LineupLogic DFS. So check that out if you're interested. But let's jump into this Friday slate. It's a very weird slate insofar as we have no one over 11K. We have no LeBron. We have no Harden. No Russ. No Jimmy. No, I mean, none of the no Giannis, none of the serious alphas in daily fantasy sports. So you're going to really have to try to, I think you're going to have some really unique lineups. I think there's going to be some really unique lineups because you're not going to have high-low people going, you know, stars and scrubs. I think you're going to have some really interesting constructions. So let's go ahead and start with these quote-unquote studs. Anything above 9K here is where we're starting. And you know, the highest priced player is at the point guard position, and you've got him listed here.
We're talking about John Wall. Going against Detroit, it is not the greatest matchup in the world. kind of segueing into this from the top of the show, talking about Fantasy 5x5. That's fantasy5x5.com. Looking at their DVP dashboard, you can look at a DVP deep dive and look at how tough a defense has been against a position over a certain span of time that you designate. So just the default is the last 10 games. And there's really only been three plus, air quotes, plus performances against Detroit by opposing point guards over the last 10 games. It was Goran Dragic, who's just been out of this world over the past couple weeks. Ben Simmons back on the 5th. And then Kyle Lowry last night, well, I guess two nights ago if you're listening to this on Friday. but, you know, I'm not too worried about that recent trend of, you know, Detroit limiting point guards. Because John Wall has been outstanding lately. He, ever since the calendar change from 2017 to 2018, has just been fantastic. Over his last five games, he scored over 55 fantasy points three times. So three out of five games, he's been well over 5X value. He's finally jumped up, and I think he's going to stick around for a while now just based on like the tear he's been on into the five-digit salary tier. Ish Smith is a solid defender, and Detroit plays pretty good team defense. But he and, you know, Bradley Beal, who we'll talk about in a little bit, they just play crazy minutes. You know, they're playing well into the 30s. Beal flirting with 40 minutes regularly. Wall himself as well. They're the usage alphas on that team. I mean, everything goes through them always. So I feel like you can feel good about paying up for Wall. I don't know if it's really a GPP kind of play. I mean, it could be. I don't know how heavily owned he's going to be. But I think he's just a really safe cash play who's going to most likely give you, you know, a solid return. Bare minimum, I think, 4X value, which would be into the 40s. So I feel good about Wall tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the fantasy value. So I went back through the last 10 games as well here. The fantasy scoring hasn't been there. But Detroit has allowed some really efficient performances. They're actually 29th in efficiency allowed to the point guard position. And what I'm looking at in these last 10 games is they just haven't seen a lot of shots. You know, they haven't seen a lot of attempts. They've allowed almost 50% shooting, but they really haven't seen a lot of attempts. So only 15 attempts. When you're on an average, you're looking at somewhere between north of 17, anywhere between 17 and 21 is the number that you're seeing for most teams. Mm-hmm. So it looks like we could see a bump in fantasy scoring naturally if we just see a more aggressive point guard, a guy with higher usage rate, you know, which I would love to see from John Wall. So I think he, and the other thing that I just found, another fantasy 5x5 gem, they actually allow the highest assist rate to point guards. So highest assist rate to point guards, Detroit. So John Wall could get you that double-double and then some. So I like that call.
Yeah, and I just noticed looking real quick at the starting point guards versus Detroit over the last 10, and I based it on fantasy points instead of usage. And a guy who I kind of think, you know, when I think of Chris Dunn, I kind of think of John Wall. They have similar games, slashers, you know, like good scores at the basket, you know, nice distributors, crazy fast. Chris Dunn, RIP, he's going to be out for a while, but he put up 55.6 against them a few days ago. So, hey, I'll take 55 from Wall, you know, any day of the week. So, you know, there's a kind of a litmus test right there is can he replicate Dunn, a similar big body?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chris Dunn, if nothing else, is John Wall light. If he turns out to be John Wall light, then his career has been a success.
Indeed.
But at shooting guard, the only other guy, I mean, he's finally above 10K, and it may be partially matchup dependent. It's Victor Oladipo, and he's going to be on the road on a back-to-back against LA, which that team is just – it decimated right now. So Depot is really going to be able to get kind of whatever he wants. You do worry a little bit about blowout in this situation because this team runs such a pace. They have blown some teams out. They blew out the Suns not long ago. You know, and he sat. He's going to sit, you know, at about that 30-minute mark if they blow them out, which is a concern. But this is definitely a matchup that you would want to go to Oladipo. You know, we talk about the increased pace of the Lakers. Obviously, you know, everybody knows they're first in overall pace, but Indiana has been running an above average pace this year as well. Now they're average. Sorry, they were running up in the top 10. So, but the point is that they can run. And if they want to run, they're going to run. Victor Oladipo definitely is going to benefit from a game that's this fast pace. We've seen him in the last five games continue to, you know, just kind of set that floor for himself. 38 fantasy points, that's not overwhelmingly good. 28% usage rate. You know, adding the steals, adding the rebounds and the assists. But this could be a game where he does quite a bit of scoring. And we're going to see no Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So he's also going to be playing against second stringers. Probably no Lonzo Ball, probably no Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Lonzo has been ruled out completely, but probably no KCP.
Is it Brandon Ingram banged up too?
Brandon Ingram is banged up, but he's going to play. He played on Wednesday. He's going to play again. So, you know, I mean, you're talking about a team that turns the ball over here quite a bit, a team that, you know, they allow above average steals. They allow above average scoring to the point guard. You know, some of the most fantasy points to the point guard position out there. Not the point guard, but to guards in general. So definitely a spot that I want to take advantage of with Victor Oladipo. Yeah, my question for you, Josh, is do you think you're paying too much for a guy who might only get you 4X?
I mean, I don't really think so. Kind of spoiling one of the points that I'm going to make when we talk about Bradley Beal, but it's fine, you know, is thinking of Bradley Beal, who is how much less expensive?
84?
He's 78. So, yeah, you save $1,500 going from Depot down to Beal. But Depot has demonstrated, you know, crazy upside, like 65, 70 point upside. He's done it this year, so he owns the ability to do that. And, you know, it's not like it's a one-time thing with him. Like, I think with his usage and his minutes, he can do that, and the matchup is awesome. Beal, I don't think that he has that kind of upside. You know, so I think that, you know, for a guy like Beal, you know, you're looking for in the 40s, you know, 50 if you're lucky. But Depot, I mean, you're looking in the 40s, 50 if you're lucky. But if you're shooting for 60, he's way more likely to get it. I think Beal's only scored 60 points like once or twice this year, maybe once. I don't know.
Yeah, but the ceiling with him is absolutely there. Very, very interested in that for Depot. So I agree with you. Let's go over to power forward, because there's really nothing at small forward. Like, you know, we have no Kawhi, and there's a bunch of guys ruled out already. So not a lot to be interested in at the small forward position. We'll talk about that later, but talk to me about the power forward.
Yeah, power forward, we're looking, I mean, I guess, you know, like Kristaps is he's in a nice spot every time he goes out, just because of his crazy usage and, you know, the versatility he brings. He's performed really well lately, just put up 58 against Memphis, 54 against New Orleans before that. Very consistent over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 games. But I like Aldridge a lot more in this spot, going against Toronto. Reason being is when Kawhi is off the court, which has been most of this season, and now it's pretty much, my guess is until, like, you know, when they're getting ready to go, you know, to the playoffs, there's no reason to, you know, risk it with him. I mean, he's done for a while now, you know, out indefinitely. When Kawhi's out, Aldridge is the alpha dog. I mean, he's the crazy usage, 30%+ usage guy. You know, I'm looking at Fantasy Labs right now, and he's projected for 32% usage, 35%, 31% over his last couple games. That's insane. That's crazy usage. And in those last two games, 34 and 25 real points, with a bunch of rebounds, assists, and peripheral stats to go around. Just 4 total turnovers in those two games, 37 minutes, 34 minutes, respectively. So the guy is just, he's just in such a nice spot based on his role on the team. It's going to go through LaMarcus. And I saw a news report like a week or two ago. I can't remember exactly when or where I saw it, but it was something where Popovich said, like, he screwed up in how he addressed LaMarcus last year.
Yeah,
he wanted him to. You remember that? Like, he wanted to fit a square peg in a round hole. Like, he wanted him to, you know, play the game that he wanted him to play. You know, I can't remember exactly what was said in this report, but essentially this year, Pop has let LMA be who he was back on Portland. And obviously, you know, we're seeing the fruits of that decision because he's crushing it. So going against Toronto, I mean, on paper, you know, on first glance, you're probably like a little concerned about it. But when you look at how centers fare against Toronto, centers fare against Toronto, you know, power forwards are, you know, not finding a ton of success, but centers over the last 10 games, 3.4 plus minus increase and 16% usage increase. So, you know, we know that Pau Gasol doesn't log tons of minutes. We know that Joffrey Lavernier is not a threat to LaMarcus Aldridge's playing time. You know, I'm not worried about Davis Bertans. So I think he's going to get tons of minutes. He's going to get tons of nice situations to put up, you know, real points. And I think he's just in a crazy good spot. I could see him getting 60, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think that he's going to be priced up heavily here pretty soon into the mid-10s just because of the usage and the minutes and the role he has in this team going forward.
Yeah, I'm looking at Toronto, right now, and I'm seeing that they're pretty average to the power forward position, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, and I screwed up because when I wrote my notes, I was looking at it from a purely from a usage standpoint. And then I realized that after the fact, but yeah, no, looking at it from a fantasy point standpoint, you're right. They're pretty average.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pretty average. So I wouldn't necessarily be scared about LaMarcus here. I think he's got the opportunity to have a nice game with high usage. You know, he's super efficient on the glass too. So, definitely someone that I have interest in rostering every time Kawhi is out of the picture. At the center position, though, man, give me some Jokic. Now, he's not exactly been consistent, but he's 10K. He's got Phoenix, and we know that this guy. You talk about a ceiling. Two of the last six games, he's gone for nearly 60. And two of the last five games, he's gone for over 40. Now, the weird thing is in between that, he had a 25-pointer and a 38-pointer. So you have to roster Jokic knowing that somewhere in the 30s is in his range of outcomes because his production varies so much night to night depending on how many points he scores, basically. He's going to relatively consistently get you close to double-digit, maybe double-digit rep rebounds. He's probably going to get you, you know, a good five in the neighborhood of five assists. But it really depends. A lot of it depends. His range of outcomes depends on how many points he scores. And, you know, he can score anywhere between 9 and 29. In the last five, he's done both of those. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But the matchup with Phoenix obviously could not be any better. They allow the most fantasy scoring to all positions, basically all positions in general, you know, and they're actually not that bad against centers, but just because they allow so many points, they're not like the worst against centers. They're definitely worse against some other positions. We'll talk about, you know, point guard, shooting guard, etc. But they do allow, you know, the 25th most points to the shooting guard position, to the center position, which is, you know, roughly 7% above the average. So you're getting a plus matchup here. You're getting a bad rebounding team with, you know, plenty of rebounding upside for Jokic. You know, the Suns are currently 27th in total rebounding rate, allowing in total rebounds allowed to the opponent. So they're on par with, you know, the Dallases and the Orlandos of the world as far as bad rebounding teams, the Lakers and the Nets, et cetera. And they're running a really high pace. So you're going to get a lot of possessions. So a lot to like in this situation. And, you know, definitely a guy that you're probably going to see relatively highly owned. But Josh, you mentioned Drummond. Do you think Drummond is the obvious pivot here?
I mean, I just see what Whiteside did to the Wizards on Wednesday night, And man, like, I kind of get a little scared there. You know, I love Jokic. Don't get me wrong. Going against the Suns, I know DDP wise, like, they look like they are a tough matchup for him. But I think just the pace of the game and the kind of game that he brings to the table, like, he's an elite offensive center. You know, not many guys at the center position are elite offensive players. He is. I think it's a great matchup for him. But man, Whiteside just went 27-13 with six blocks. And
yeah,
like, I could see, I mean, that just looks like a beastly Andre Drummond line. And I don't know, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like thinking, and just watching Wizards games, like, centers have a tendency to dump on them, especially, you know, physical presences like Hassan Whiteside,
right,
or Andre Drummond. So, you know, I'm not saying it's like a must have, it's an obvious pivot, you know, but it's just something to keep in mind when you're making your lineups, you know, because, I mean, either way, like, we're talking about two guys with massive ceilings.
Yeah, Drummond does have that rebounding upside, and, you know, Washington, pretty, you know, below average, 21st in total rebounds allowed to the opponent, you know, and I don't necessarily get scared of Gortat down there. You know, and I don't know. I mean, he's been pretty much the whole team this year. He's been super effective for them. So I would agree with you there. All right, let's move on to the middle tier here. Anywhere where we have, you know, we have a ton of guys in this space, a ton of guys who we could get interested in rostering. And, you know, sticking with that Detroit Brooklyn game, Mitch Smith versus Washington is a guy that I have some interest in here. And it's really a price play for me. Combination of getting over 30 minutes in a pace-up situation against Washington, and he's, you know, 6.1K. I think that we've seen some poor performances from him lately, but primarily because we've seen some, you know, poor scoring outings from him. You know, he took 12 attempts in that Toronto game and literally only had 3 points and still walked away with 21 fantasy points. Why? Well, he adds the peripherals. He added 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. And so you have a guy who has a baseline of pretty solid peripherals, and if he can get the scoring going, then you get a pretty nice outcome. And we saw that in the Charlotte game, for example. He went for 43 fantasy points. You know, we saw that in the Houston game. He scored 17 and he put up 32 fantasy points. So, you know, you consider a matchup with Washington, it's not particularly a great matchup with, you know, with John Wall, but we've seen that Washington is the kind of team that will let teams stay around, you know, let teams linger. You know, their efficiency differential is insane because they have two of the best, you know, two of the best guards in the league, but they allow pretty average scoring and average marks to the point guard position, you know, in a lot of cases. So, you know, right there and kind of in the middle of the pack, to be honest with you, ranking about 12-13. So not necessarily a bad matchup for Ish Smith on a short slate. He's an interesting kind of pivot play. I don't think I have to have him, and if value opens up, I may not have him, but he's an interesting option.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that this for Detroit could wind up being a kind of like a point guard center type of game. You know, they're pretty banged up on the wings, as far as I remember from earlier in the week. I don't know if those injuries are still lingering, but you know, you don't become magically healthy within one day. So yes, they're a little banged up. You know, they're going to look to Ish to take a few extra shots, handle the ball a little bit more than normal. So I like that. Okay. I like that a lot. Okay. But I'm definitely like super into Kyle Lowry against San Antonio. you know, I don't know if many people are hip to it, but you know, if you are using players against the Spurs, you're using guards. The Spurs dominate forwards, centers, they hold them to, you know, double digit percentage below average in fantasy production. All year long, they, however, have just been getting run on by guards. And, you know, I think it's just a testament to the fact that, you know, most of the time they're rolling out older guys. Right. You know, we're talking about Danny Green, you know, Pau Gasol, Manu Ginobili. Well, yeah, Pau Gasol, but he's not a guard. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you know, Deontay Murray. I don't know. You probably know better than me. I mean, is he like a defensive liability at all?
No, he's not a defensive liability. Yeah. I think it's Popovich's structure. He limits second chance points. He doesn't want you to get rebounds. He's okay with you taking things from the mid range. He's okay with you shooting, more threes. He really wants to protect the rim. And so you see exactly as you mentioned, they are literally one of the best teams in efficiency to the front court, but they're pretty good against the backcourt as well. But if you're going to score against San Antonio, it's definitely going to come from the backcourt because you're just not going to do that much scoring against them in other spaces on the floor.
Yeah, well, to just affix a number to it, starting guards against the Spurs over the last 10 games are scoring 11% more fantasy points, 3.2 plus minus. So it is a pronounced difference versus the forwards and centers.
Well, look no further to what the Nets just did, Josh. I mean, just the other night, the Nets stayed in it.
You're right. Alan Crabb and Dinwiddie just like had awesome.
Alan
outings.
Crabb, Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie all had decent games. So, yeah, I think Kyle Lowry is an excellent call. You have a very clear floor, a competitive game where he's going to get a lot of run. I like this move.
And just to finish it up, and then we'll move on. It's just like, and the other thing is just like with Toronto, you know what Toronto wants to do. I mean, it all starts with their guards. It all starts with Lowry, DeRozan. You know, Van Vliet was banged up, so DeLon Wright might be a nice play as well. So I like those guys going against San Antonio. So put it in the bank.
I have no problem with Kyle Lowry. Especially on this slate where you don't have a ton of options. I think he's a very good way to pivot and be different.
His price might be bottoming out a bit here too. I think he's 7,500.
I thought it was 79. I don't have it in front of me.
77. Right in the middle. 77.
All right. You know, we have a lot of guards to talk about in the Phoenix Denver game. We'll talk about all those guys. You know, Will Barton, Gary Harris, Devin Booker, and all the three of those guys. Very, very interesting. We're going to talk about two other options here for you guys as well. Before we get to those clowns, I want to talk about Don Mitchell. Just bananas. Over 32 fantasy points in each of his last five games. Over 40 in two of those performances. Last night against Sacramento, shot 14 of 19. He shot 50% from the field or more in three games of the last five. Insanity. The guy is so, so efficient. So effective, just balling. Just a straight scorer. Scored 34 last night, had 35 against Charlotte, like real life points. So this guy can just get buckets, and you have,
dude, his salary just dropped.
It doesn't make sense. Like I think it's
his salary dropped.
I think it's ownership percentage. I think it's just because. Honestly, and you can see this if you look at the pricing between Gary Harris and Will Barton, the differential, they both put up pretty similar lines. Okay, Will Barton put up 40, Gary Harris put up 35 the other night. Gary Harris's price moved up $200, Barton's jumped like $700. Ownership percentage has a lot to do with it. So that, you know, FanDuel's algorithm definitely takes into account how highly owned players are. And Barton was owned at a much higher rate than Gary was. But Don Mitchell versus the Knicks is very interesting to me. They've been relatively average, you know, in all defensive metrics, and you know, in general, they're kind of right there in the middle against the shooting guard as well. You know, like against guards in general, because they're bad against the point guard, but they're relatively decent against the shooting guard, and that really just has to do with the fact that Courtney Lee is a decent on-ball defender. But I have to think that Donovan Mitchell is in a really good position here to attack this team. You know, they are not a terrible defense as far as the efficiency that they allow. They're 13th in overall efficiency allowed to the backcourt. But you have a guy who can score. You have a very, very easy price to swallow. And, you know, I just... there's something about it, the way that he's been playing. You have such a clear floor. I mean, literally, the kid has not scored. The lowest that he has scored in a full game in the last, since Christmas, is 26 fantasy points. It's the lowest that he has had. I mean, it's unbelievable how consistent he is lately. So I'm interested in Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, man, I love that his game logs are just a thing of beauty to look at. Super consistent, crazy usage. I mean, you know, Quinn's putting his eggs in that basket, you can tell. So I like it. you know, as far as, you know, other shooting guards go, I like Bradley Beal. I mentioned it earlier, you know, Detroit. Pretty average against shooting guards, but he's just getting insane minutes. I mean, last game out, he only had 27 minutes. It's an aberration. I mean, the guy's getting 35 to 40 minutes a night. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, he's not going to go nuts. I mean, he's not going to get you. He's probably not going to get you 50 points. He's probably not going to get you, you know, a performance that, you know, you're going to be like tweeting about, just like bragging, like, yeah, I used Bradley Beal, 55 points. You know, the only time he's going to do that is when John Wall is out and he's just the de facto focal point. But he's so consistent getting like solid 40 point outings, 18 games this year in the 40s, another 14 in the 30s. So he's just so consistent. He's just such a safe cash play. $7,800 is a really solid price for him. So, you know, if I'm not trying to put myself in a rough spot and, you know, use some shooting guard that I'm going to look up at my, you know, FanDuel app and see like 20 points and just smack my head and be like, why the hell did I use him? You know, Bradley Beal is a guy where you can just put him in there and be like, all right, moving on.
I like that. I like that call. I think it's interesting. We got to talk about the guys in this Phoenix Denver game, because there is a ton of usage and a ton to like between Gary, between Devin Booker and Will Barton. Now, Will Barton likely to start again at point guard tomorrow night. With what's his name sideline with the concussion, Jamal started sideline with the concussion. So, is he your number one if you're ranking those three? Is it Will Barton at 77, Gary 2 at 71, and then maybe Devin Booker 3 at 85? What do you think?
I mean, I definitely don't like the jump in Barton's salary. He went from 68. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, from one slight to another, you know, he went up $900. Gary jumped up 500. I believe he was the guy at 66. You know, 77 is not that bad for Barton. I mean, just comparing him to Beal, dang, man, because it's like $100 difference. I don't know. Like, I would probably use Beal like eight times out of 10, picking between the two of them.
Yeah,
You know, there's enough of a gap between Beal's salary. And then, you know, and then of course you have Donovan Mitchell, and it's like, would you really go with Barton over Mitchell the way he's been playing? I mean, Barton's
probably going to play.
I don't know. It's tough, man. I'm like talking myself into this like jibber jabber conundrum where I'm like, who the hell do I use?
I think you're going to want to spend up a shooting guard. These guys all have 40 plus point potential, and then you know, and maybe that's reason to fade Oladipo, because you have a bunch of guys here who could get you 40 fantasy points. And I think Gary is a very clear floor path to 35. I have no issue with him against Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is, you know, a notoriously good matchup for guards. He went for 47, just 36 raw points against them last time out. You know, I'm probably picking, I think I'm okay getting off of Booker, even though the usage is there, even though he's been a phenomenal performer. I'm probably picking between these two guys, maybe some Don Mitchell, maybe some Bradley Beal as well. But
yeah, Booker is at his season high salary of $8,500. Yeah. So, you know, when a guy is at a season high salary coming off a game that, I mean, like, we know that Booker has those elite, just nutso games in him, put up 67 against Portland, but you know, I feel like it's a pretty easy fade for me with Booker, because people are going to, the box score chasers will see that and not really consider the massive jump in salary. So yeah, I think our wheelhouse,
the salary and the matchup with Denver, you know, I mean, it's not that bad. It's the problem. It's not as the matchup with Portland was worse on paper, but you know, who knows? Devin Booker, pretty elite scorer. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about small forward.
Oh, and real quick, Tyreek Evans' revenge game against Sacramento.
Get out of here with that. Yeah, I mean, in a terrible defense. Terrible defense, you know, just generally speaking. Small forward is rough. Small forward is really, really tough. And I think you're going to see Josh Richardson own it about 100% of lineups, and that makes a lot of good sense to me, because he's got Brooklyn. We know Brooklyn overall, you know, they are fifth in overall pace. They are allowing, you know, 106 points per 100 possessions. You know, they have allowed, they're 27th right now in efficiency inside the paint. So Josh Richardson, a guy who's been consistently getting 30 plus minutes since Deion Waiters went down, consistently having, you know, 20% usage thereabouts. I really, really like this spot for him to take advantage of Brooklyn. Now, he only had 25 points against them in 25 minutes, or in 28 minutes, you know, not his best performance. But I, the way that Miami is playing right now, I think that you could definitely see Richardson get out there, get 32 minutes and put up a solid line. And, you know, the thing that I like about him is the thing that I'll continue to, you know, that I like about a guy like Ish Smith. He's going to do a lot of things. And at a moderate price tag, his ability to stuff the stat sheet is going to, you know, not create scoring dependency. And when your shot's not falling, you want a guy who can do a lot of things and create a floor for himself. And he certainly has had a floor. He has not scored below, since Christmas, he has not scored below 20 fantasy points. So you're going to get a nice return from him. He's very reasonably priced. And the matchup with Brooklyn is phenomenal. I think he's probably going to be one of the highest owned players on the slate.
Yeah, I know. I love Josh Richardson. I agree. I think he's going to definitely be heavily owned. I think people kind of just – I find myself every time Miami is on a slate kind of gravitating towards him, like my thumb is kind of hovering, Josh Richardson. You know, he just feels right. But I'm interested in TJ Warren coming back after a little injury there. He's only played four games in 2018 so far. But at 6,700, he's at his lowest salary since early November. And I'm super into guys who are really consistent players. And something happened. You know, there's a little uncertainty about him coming back. You know, I don't know. People might be a little worried about it. But $6,700 for TJ Warren, thinking about his usage, his minutes, the pace of play of this game, I feel like it's a pretty easy plug and play for me. Do I like Josh Richardson? Yes. Do I like Otto Porter going against Detroit? You know, you can use small forwards against Detroit, you know, feel pretty confident. Yes, I do like him as well. But, you know, I feel like TJ is, at least from a scoring point of view, is the one who's most likely to get me like 20 real life points. When we're kind of, I don't want to say we're dumpster diving here at small forward, but we're kind of dumpster diving, you know? I think we're dumpster diving in like the dumpster of, you know, Panera, not like McDonald's, you know?
The classy, classy dumpster there.
Yeah, like TJ Warren, Otto Porter, Josh Richardson. They're like, they're
The Panera of, they're the Panera of small forwards. Like if LeBron is,
so we're not talking about
LeBron is ahead. Like your James Beard award winning world renowned chef who gets a Netflix special.
Yes. Wait, so what does that make like Bojan Bogdanovic and like Kelly Oubre, I mean, and
borderline like Long John Silver's, like
like a 7-Eleven hot dog that's been like,
yeah, I mean, we got to go all the way through the span. Like, yeah, I mean, they're not even. And then there's guys who are just like, you know, frozen food in the frozen food aisle. Like, there's not even.
Ooh,
but yeah, we're in the Panera. This is the Panera Bread of small forwards.
Yeah. Well, just like those guys, just like 7-Eleven hot dogs with Alan Crabb and Reggie Bullock and Joe Johnson, you just have to be really high to use them. Just like you got to be really high to eat one of those hot dogs.
You know what? They're hot dogs. You know, you don't turn down a decent hot dog, especially if it's like free. But
even if they've been baking there for 12 hours. Right. But
all right.
Anyways, hot dogs aside,
let's talk about James Johnson, because I think in the power forward and center range, you are going to be concentrating a lot of your efforts, I think, in Miami, in the direction of Miami, the Denver Phoenix game, and the Indy LA game. And frankly, those are the three juiciest games that we have on the slate. But James Johnson versus Brooklyn, he's been getting about 29 minutes. He's kind of back to his normal role. You know, not a lot of scoring, but of course, that's not always why you roster James Johnson. You know, he's been hot, he's been cold, but he's at a relatively reasonable price, just about 0.9 fantasy point, or excuse me, just about one fantasy point per minute. He's not above 6K. We know he can be a guy who gives you 30 fantasy points, and you have a very clear floor. And I think you have a really nice floor with Johnson, who is, sorry, I pulled up the price, $5,400. You're asking him for just over 25 fantasy points. That's not a crazy number. That's a number that he could get to very, very comfortably. He did it just last game in Milwaukee when he was, you know, back up to his full complement of minutes, and that team played pretty well. So I'm interested in Johnson in this situation. I think he's perfectly fine with his 29 minutes. He seems to be healthy. That ankle seems to be okay. So I don't mind going to him against a bad rebounding team in a bad post defense. I think this is a good game for him to, you know, kind of do the same thing Josh Richardson does, which is just fill up multiple categories, blocks, rebounds, assists, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. I like Domantas Sabonis going against LA. You know, ever since he joined Indy, you know, coming over from OKC, he's just demonstrated that he has, a pretty legit offensive game, can grab boards in droves. And the Lakers are a team that, you're definitely not scared of using big men against, just from a DVP standpoint. Over the last 10 games, they've been pretty decent against opposing centers. But from a usage standpoint, you know, you had Steven Adams last game out just get like a massive bump in usage, had a 25% usage rate against them. And I kind of see a little bit of Steven Adams in Sabonis. So I don't know, like I don't think that Sabonis is going to have like a 25% usage rate like Adams did. Right. But I could see him having a pretty nice outing going against them. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, talking about Oladipo, I mean, this is a team in Indy that plays at a high right. pace. And we obviously right. know that the Lakers do too. So it's just more extra possessions for him as he's filling in Miles Turner's shoes that he's hurt.
I love attacking the paint in this game. And I think, you know, that spins well into my center pick, which is Julius Randle at 6,600. If he gets 30 minutes, it's been so inconsistent. But I think if we see any of these guys missing, I think you could see Julius Randle have a really, really nice game against Indiana. They've allowed some of the most scoring in the paint. Second most raw points in the paint in the league. And, you know, Randle is inconsistent, but if he gets hot, Luke Walton will let him stay in there. So you have a potential Kuzma injury. You have, you know, KCP banged up. They're going to need offense from somebody, and I think Julius Randle could be that guy against Indiana. So I'm interested in Julius Randle at 6,600. So long as he gets the minutes, it's just they've been inconsistent. You know, anywhere between 30 and 17 in the last five games, which is just so hard to project. I think I could feel comfortable saying 24. Certainly 24 minutes. I would love to see him get, you know, upwards of 27 to 30. I think you get a really nice return from him in that situation. But who knows? You know, I mean, he has a ceiling. He just also has just a massive, massive floor because he's a liability. And if Walton doesn't like the way he's playing, he's not going to leave him in there. So Randle, do you think you could play him in a cash game?
Yeah, I mean, from a points per minute standpoint, like he's up there. I mean, if he can get minutes, like he's going to get you well over a point per minute.
Right.
I mean, the problem is that, you know, let me just look at his game logs real quick. Crap. Of course, it's like taking forever to load. Yeah. So what do you get? 23, 21, 33, 17, 30, 22. 27, 20. Yeah. So it's just like, when is he going to get those minutes?
Right.
But damn, dude, that game against Dallas a couple days ago, 23 and 15, you know, going against Sacramento, 22 and 14. I mean, if he gets run and he's made to be a focal point, he can dominate. So, you know, I think it's worth a gamble. I just don't know if I'd be, you know, I don't have the cojones to use him in cash.
I hear you.
You know, so I just think that, you know, Whiteside, well, Drummond and Jokic are in just amazing spots. I think both are, you know, 50 plus, pretty certain, you know, on my end of things. But, you know, and that kind of segues into my guy here. He's a step up for sure from Randle as far as salary goes. But, you know, Hassan Whiteside, I think that, you know, he's turned a corner now. Like, you know, midway through the season, we were seeing, you know, him kind of fall to the periphery, you know, after being like the toast of the town, the toast of the DFS town last year, just absolutely crushing it, you know, every single night. He was pretty useless for pretty much the entire month of November, was out pretty much all of December, but he's back now. The last four games, I mean, 59, you know, 24 against Chicago, but 41 against Milwaukee, 45 against Indy, which, by the way, Sean, you know, Julius Randle. And he did that in 28 minutes, mind you.
Yeah.
But I just, oh, and then of course, you know, I mean, Whiteside, you know, I mean, the guy is just, we've seen what he can do. Like, we've seen that this is like a 20, 20 and five kind of guy, not five assists, five blocks. Right. I like this matchup with Brooklyn, man. Like, I mean, it's not anything that takes rocket surgery to figure out. And I think that he sets himself up to, you know, have another crazy good outing.
Yeah.
8,700. It's like, it's a lot better to use him at, well, whatever it was, 74, 77, whatever it was. But I like it. I feel safe using him. If I don't have the money for Drummond or Jokic, you know, you can just take a step down to Whiteside and feel good about it.
I think that's fair. I think that's, I think you can, I think that makes sense. Yeah, if, I don't know, how chalky is he going to be? That's a question for me, you know?
Yeah, people are, and again, it's just the same thing that we just said with, who was it? Game log chasers.
Oh, Devin, someone's going to be D-Book.
Yes, D-Book, the bookster.
The bookster.
Yeah, so look, we just saw Booker's salary spike.
Right.
We see Whiteside's salary spike, and we're going to have the game log chasers chasing these guys.
I don't mind Booker. I think like for 85 or 8,700 here, I don't know. I might go Booker over Whiteside just because I know he's going to get the minutes. Whiteside.
Yeah. And you know, how many times has DFS Twitter just like had a meltdown over Hassan Whiteside?
Oh, the entire website crashes. All right. I'm going to talk value here. 5,500 and below. God, Ricky Rubio. Do you want me to say that name? Should I say it out loud, or he?
It's my doppelganger.
Who should not be named the Voldemort of DFS right now? Rubesters. You know, I mean, listen, he did Ricky Rubio things the other night: 9-1-7 with 4 steals. It's a terrible line, but like 5,100, 5,300. If you need a punt point guard, I think he's about as close as you can get. The other guy is, I guess, Tyler Ulis. He's taken over the majority of those minutes at that position, 24 minutes. I don't know. Is Isaiah Kanan playing a lot behind him, playing more than you feel comfortable with? You know, like, what do you do with Isaiah Kanan playing 20 minutes a game? He's also in play. Like, he plays 20, 23 minutes a game at $3,700. So, the only other guys that I could think that you might go to are some of the backups in LA. Tyler Ennis played 20 minutes. That's pretty much it for value point guard. It's not necessarily a night where I think I'm going to be playing in the value range. What about shooting guard?
Yeah, I'm looking at Wayne Ellington. He's 4,400 going against Brooklyn. You know, we know that Deion Waiters and Tyler Johnson are not in the picture. So Ellington's been getting a lot of run, you know, over 30 minutes pretty regularly. Brooklyn's pretty good against guards. You know, if you're going to attack Brooklyn, you typically do it with front court options. Hence why we like, you know, Josh Richardson and James Johnson and Hassan Whiteside. But Ellington is just so cheap and he gets so many minutes. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. I think in GPPs, I would rather use him than in cash. Like in cash, I'd rather pay up for shooting guards that I can hang my hat on knowing that they're going to be involved. Like Ellington can kind of disappear at times. But if you end up getting 30 points from him, which he's shown he can do multiple times, and you end up getting 8x from him, then you're sitting pretty. You know, I don't think he's going to go heavily owned. I just think he could accidentally score 30 fantasy points just because he gets the minutes with the injury situation in Miami.
That's the right way to think of it.
What about small forward?
Small forward, like we talk about, is dumpster diving. Like, it is a disaster zone. And you're already almost in the borderline, you know, value section when you look at Josh Richardson. Wilson Chandler just has the usage in the minutes. I think he's somebody you could be interested in. Alan Crabb's been playing 30 minutes as well. I don't love the matchup with Miami. They're actually very good on the wing. It's not a good spot to attack them. But if you want minutes, that's a guy who's going to get minutes. Joe Harris, similarly. I mean, if you're going to get 30 minutes from these guys, you have to think about them. You can't necessarily ignore them. The only other spot, maybe Dylan Brooks, if we have some guys out in Memphis. He's been playing a ton, and with no Marc Gasol in the lineup, he actually did more scoring against New York. So he's a guy that I could see myself being interested in. And of course, my man Bojan Bogdanović, 4,200. I feel like his price hasn't changed all season long. He's going to play over 25 minutes. He's probably going to score somewhere in double digits, low double digits of points, and you're probably going to get 20 points from him, 20 fantasy points from him. So you're not going to be too upset with that return. It's just something, it's a known commodity. There's not a lot of ceiling there, but it's a known commodity. Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think of Lance Stephenson off the bench here?
I mean, I like Lance Stephenson off the bench. Crazy, good energy kind of guy. He's a crazy person in general. When he's one of those bench guys that when he comes in, like, he is the focal point. Like, so, you know, he kind of, we talked about Deontay Murray before. We've talked about, my wife just like ran in the room for some reason. It distracted me. She just like ran in. Oh, yeah. Okay. but we're talking about these guys that they can get like 18, 16 minutes and just go nuts and just score like 20 something fantasy points, 30 fantasy points. So I don't mind him. One guy that I'm interested in, it's your boy that you were talking about on the pod the other day, is Reggie Bullock.
Oh, God.
I know. It's gross. Like we're saying, this is like drunk at 7-Eleven at 2 in the morning getting like a wrinkly old hot dog to wash down with your Monster Energy drink. But
oh God, why are we doing this? Monster Energy drink.
I know. Well, that's this is what you feel like when you use him. But hear me out. 3,700, almost min sal, and the Wizards are god awful against small forwards. The last five games, they've just been horrific. 29% usage rate. What are you handing this to me for? Oh, geez. We're in the middle of a podcast here. This is serious business.
Real life is happening, Josh. Come on.
I know. No, but 29% usage bump over the last five games. 7.5 plus minus, which is massive.
Who's this? Larry? Oh, no.
Small forwards against the Wizards.
Got it.
Last five.
Yeah, they've been dominating.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, like, again, just like we said with Wayne Ellington, Reggie Bullock could accidentally score 25 or 30 points. Yeah,
that's so true.
She's ridiculous. Sorry. But Larry Nance.
Yeah.
Larry Nance Jr.
Larry Nance, what do you Jr. think? Well, we got to find out if Kuzma plays. If Kuzma doesn't play,
right.
then Larry Nance in all formats all the time. So,
when he gets run, I mean, he's a double-double machine.
Yeah. No kidding. I think that Larry Nance is absolutely one of the guys we want to power forward. Anybody else you see a power forward?
Like Davis Bertans, I can't stand him because like every time I decide to use like some Spurs player, back in the Rudy Gay era of like November or, nights when we like were not sure if Kawhi was going to play or not, or some domino effect of Danny Green not playing and Tony Parker sitting and Pau Gasol getting his minutes limited or whatever, like, and Bertans comes out of nowhere and puts up like 30 points, So in the back of my mind, like, I see this situation where he has an outing. Obviously, that is pure gambling, but I mean, he's a good offensive player and he can score the basketball. He can shoot. And, you know, I think it's someone to consider if you need a Minsal power forward. It's a little bump up over our kind of like dumpster diving range here. But Serge Ibaka, I know that the matchup is tough with San Antonio, but I just love his game. I love how he's been playing this year. As long as he doesn't get his ass suspended again and get in trouble with the team or something, or get ejected or get in a fight or something, he's good to go. So I like Ibaka. I like his consistency. Yeah. I like the $5,300 price tag. So, you know, but I would much rather pay up a little bit more, you know, $100 more for James Johnson, $600 more or $700 more for Sabonis. Even Trey Lyles going against Phoenix, who I saw you had in the notes. As yeah,
he's interesting too. He hasn't been playing as much, but I think
his game lines up well in this matchup.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. All right, at the center position, you know, center below this price point has been rough, and I don't know necessarily that you have to spend on a value center. Like, we haven't really seen a lot of value centers. And winning the center position has been something that we've been very interested in on FanDuel. But I think, you know, we got to keep an eye on the Memphis situation, obviously. Mason Plumlee, though, has been unbelievable. Like, you talk about this. He went for 40 the other night in L.A., you know, like, and more consistently before that in about 22 minutes, which was about his role, he was doing over 20 fantasy points. In that Phoenix game, he went 23 fantasy points and had – or 23 minutes and had 37 fantasy points. So there's a lot of offense running through him when he's on the court. He's a high impact guy, and with low minutes, I could definitely see myself getting into him. You know, other than that, maybe some Alex Len. He's been getting good run with no Marquese Chris out there. And he's very similar to Plumlee in the sense that he can score. He can go out there and do a double double in a very short amount of time. You know, and even more so than Tyson Chandler, who gets more minutes but can really disappear from the box score sometimes. So those are the guys that I'm interested in. If we see if we see any other news, I could see, you know, you could see some changes here and there, but those are the guys that I think you can take a stab at.
What is the what do you put the odds at for Drummond magically getting hurt or benched, you know, late scratched and Boban?
No way. No Boban. We're not gonna get any Boban. All right. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Why?
We're not.
Why?
We're just,
come on.
I know.
Come on.
Boban.
Come on. Come on, SVG.
Yeah.
Come on.
You wish. But I don't think we're gonna get any more.
I'll be fine. Okay. Let's build a lineup.
All right, let's do it, man. You got first pick.
Oh shit. Okay. well, I. Ooh, jeez. Well, who's my stud? Who is my ish stud? Oh shit, dude. I gotta go with. We got to pay up at center. I think we got to pay up at center. I'm going to go with Andre Drummond.
You're going to go Drummond. Interesting. Okay.
I'm pulling the rug out of the under the Joker.
All right. If you're going no Joker, then I want exposure to that team, and I am going to go Will Barton.
Good choice. William Jefferson Barton III.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to need to save Moolah somewhere. I think we're going to have to do that with power forward.
Mm-hmm. You can get below 6K easily for power forward.
Let's go with Jimbo Johnson.
Uh-huh. Jimbo. All right. I
will follow you there and say, oh gosh, I really hope Kyle Kuzma doesn't play. That would be so nice. Fuck.
You know, I just realized like we have to make sure that we have room to pay. I mean, like when I do say pay up, I mean, I'm doing air quotes, pay up at small forward.
Yeah. No. Well, why don't we just lock in our small forwards here? It's going to be Josh Richardson and who else? I mean, I guess you could go Kyle Anderson. Toronto's not really a great matchup. It's not a good matchup, and I just don't know what to
do. I feel like by the way, can I just say something real quick? So tonight we saw Terry Rozier just shit the bed and scored 9.2 points.
I was there.
Super chalk. And then yesterday the super chalk was Kyle Anderson, who scored 7 points.
Yeah.
And super chalk was Jordan Bell, who got hurt within like 8 seconds of the game starting and scored zero. How many times, Sean, have we seen since we've been doing this podcast now for about a year now, these super chalk value plays just completely shit the bed? And if you faded them, you're sitting pretty.
It happens. It's also really hard to talk yourself out of that cheap price tag.
It really is.
Especially in cash games.
Right. No, totally. So I don't know if I'm looking at Kyle Anderson as a chalk play. So I feel more comfortable because he can disappear at times, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like that last night was the first time he disappeared and scored 7 points. So I could see Kyle Anderson. But I kind of like Wilson Chandler a bit more than him.
I think that's right. I think Wilson Chandler is interesting here. Let's get him in there. So we got Josh Richardson, Wilson Chandler. This is interesting. I'm going to go with, one of these guys in this. I kind of want to go Don Mitchell, but I also really love the price on Gary Harris. Like, honestly, I might just go with Gary Harris and Will Barton. I think it's weird. Although, oh God, we have Wilson Chandler in there.
Here, go with whoever you want, and then I'll fix
it. I'll go Donnie Mitch.
Okay. So we'll put Donnie Mitch in there, and I'm going to save us some salary here, and I'm going to drop down from Andre Drummond to Hassan Whiteside.
Which, by the way, I completely forgot about at shooting guard. Josh Hart is going to play a lot of minutes against Indiana. It's not a good matchup for him, but he's going to play.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside. All right, Hassan Whiteside.
But now we have three Heat players.
Yeah.
Are we okay with that?
Well, three Heat players, three Denver players, just call it a day. We're going to adjust. We'll adjust here in a second. We'll adjust. Point guard's tough here. I think
this is tough.
I know. It's hard to get diversity in your lineup, you know, and I wonder how much
you know who I kind of like is we didn't talk about him, but I kind of like Darren Collison.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He's been kind of losing minutes to Corey Joseph. Like, you could play Corey Joseph and be okay.
That's true.
You know, I actually think I want to get John Wall in here. Let's see if we do John Wall and see what we can figure out.
Okay.
We're going to need two cheapies. And we may have
okay.
to.
So let's.
Makes sense.
All right, so I have an idea here. Let's get rid of Wilson Chandler.
Okay.
Or no, let's get well. Shit. Okay, yeah. Let's get rid of Wilson Chandler and put Reggie Bullock in there.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Can't wait.
I know you're excited about that. And then we can bump up from James Johnson.
This is going poorly.
We could bump up just so we don't get so much heat exposure. Bump up to Sabonis.
Oh yes, yeah, Sabonis. So now, I love Sabonis. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So now go real cheap at either point guard or power forward to upgrade us a little bit more here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Point guard, power forward, power forward. Let's say let's get some Larry Nance, or maybe we could get some Dragan Bender. He's interesting. Kelly Olynyk at 4,300 is ridiculously cheap. He could be a guy that gets some minutes, but you kind of have him and Whiteside are one in the same. So let's say we know Dragan Bender.
You could also do Corey Joseph.
Yeah, you could. That's unique.
Because if you did Corey Joseph, then that would allow you to use Serge Ibaka. But if you did Larry Nance, then that would allow you to do like DeLon Wright.
Joseph. Yeah, I don't love any of those guys. I got to make some changes here. This is brutal.
Yeah. Brutal. Yeah.
All right.
Let's drop down Whiteside to one of the cheaper centers then. Julius Randle. Yeah, we get a Laker in there.
And then you get Ish Smith in there at point guard. All right. So this went awry. So
I think that made that, yes, that did. 100%. So now we have 5,300. We can go Ibaka. We can go Larry Nance.
Right.
So
let's just let it be here. You guys figure it out for yourself, right?
John Wall. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think once we geek out with the spreadsheet, fantasy 5x5, little fantasy labs action, see what's going on in the tweeters, check out the news, think about it. Tomorrow night we'll be locking in some good stuff. I think the key is that a slate like this where you don't have absolute studs that you just like you immediately gravitate to, you really got to think things through. It's going to be an interesting night. I just looking at this first glance, it's just there's so many different ways you can go here.
Yep.
So it's a tough one to crack, like we're from our vantage point right now, but it is definitely one for you know, people paying attention to the news and kind of thinking differently. Yeah, so I'm excited for this slate.
Thinking differently. It's going to pay to think to be different. All right. Hey, that is it for us. We're going to get out of here. It is time to be done. Josh, enjoy the weekend. Good luck.
Sean, I appreciate it, man. Take care, buddy. And good luck to you, my friend. Later.